Hey, I would like you to open to 1 Samuel chapter 15. We ask, Lord, today, we just want to meet with you. There's nobody like you. You're so awesome. Thank you for loving us. Jesus, we want to hear what you want us to hear today because we need you through our week. We need you in every day, not just come together, have warm fuzzies, and then go try to figure out how to live life. We want to find your way. We find you and then walk with you because your way, being in your presence, it's like joy and peace and overflowing and like Brother Tom losing his dad, and then when I contact him, he's just like so full of grace. He's not just walking. I don't think Tom's walking with you right now. I think you're picked him up and are carrying him next to your heart. I see him just like your little boy. You got him up in your arms. Because, Lord, what Tom, the way he's responding when I'm talking to him, there's so much of you coming through, it's got to be you. And, Lord, that's what we want to do, is learn how to live you, Jesus. I'm asking that you would meet the needs in each and every heart of each and every person in this life, in this room, today. Draw us unto yourself. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I told you to turn to 1 Samuel 15, and we're going to look at 1 Samuel 15, but what we've been talking about for the last several weeks is you are God, and I am not. You are God, and I am not. When we are God of our life, that means we're in control, we're making the decisions, what we should do, what we shouldn't do, what we like to do, it's all based on our feelings and our wants. Now, if you sit in between them, both of them can hear, you know, be like stereo for you, okay? They're Bosnian. They speak Bosnian. So when I'm saying this in English, she's like speaking it in Bosnian, okay? And I love these people, so I want them to hear. See, what good is it? When they come here, not understanding our language, only understand a few words, but the presence of God is here. I've come in their home. I've spent hours with them. The presence of God, they come in the presence of God, and they don't even understand, but they know the presence of God, and they will come up. Say this for them. They will come up and kiss me and love me because it's God in me, and that's what I want for you. By the time, okay, I'm sorry, it's where I live, so I have to keep bringing it up. The first 19 years of my life, my folks took me to church, you know, sometimes, and I did what churches told me how to do, and I learned a lot about God, just like I learned stuff when I went to school about George Washington or Abraham Lincoln or something. But when I met Jesus, and I was a drug dealer, and then I met Jesus. It's like I was so amazed by meeting Jesus that I said, I have got to have more of this Jesus. And so I just wanted more of him. Is that what you want? Do you want more of Jesus? Because if he came to get entertained, you could see we already failed. We didn't entertain you. Okay? But it's not about entertaining. It's about learning how to walk with Jesus, learning how to hang out so close you could feel his breath on your cheek. You could reach up and touch his cheek. You could look in his eyes and find out how he sees you, feels about you. Because like my wife was talking about this morning, she was beating herself up because she feels she let somebody down and I didn't do everything I should do and why aren't I more compassionate and why don't I? And that's not who God created her to be. And I told her, Bosnian. And I told her, she keeps saying, get jump started, okay? Somebody needs to prime that pump so it'll just flow. You can't give what you don't have. If I ask you to give me $100 bill right now, most of you couldn't hand me $100 bill. I don't have $100 bill on me. You can't give what you don't have. You can't do what God didn't create you to do. Every one of us, if you go read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, every one of us is a body part of Jesus. Some people are the eyes of Jesus. Some people are the ears of Jesus. Some people are the mouths of Jesus. God told me I'm an adrenal gland. I know you think I'm a mouth because I was born deformed with two mouths and one ear. I talk all the time. But I'm not a mouth in the body of Christ. God told me, one day he asked me, do you know what you are in the body of Christ? I said, well, for years everybody's told me I'm a mouth because I talk so much. But I said, it's always grieved me. I don't feel like that's what I am. He said, no, you're not a mouth. He said, you're an adrenal gland. I said, what's an adrenal gland? He said, it produces adrenaline. It makes people move. He said, have you ever noticed you always make people move one way or the other with excitement or irritated? He said, but they move when you come around? He said, well, you are an adrenal gland. He said, so I put you into people's lives to motivate them, to move them. Okay? Everybody has a purpose. Today, the title of the sermon is, you ready? You are God, and I am not. What is His purpose for your life? That's the title. You are God, and I am not. Under that, what is His purpose for your life? Why are you here? Why did God create you? So you could be another little kid on the planet? Why did He create you? So you could buy bigger and better cars? Why did He create you? So you could date? Why did He create you? See how many things you could own? Or how many things could own you? Why did He create you? What is your purpose? If you were a fork, you wouldn't do well to eat soup with, would you? And then why would you get disappointed? Because you can't eat soup. The people who use you can't eat soup. You weren't designed to eat soup. You were designed to eat meat and beans, anything you can stab or get under. But soup, you need a spoon. Somebody else has a spoon. You're a fork. What is your purpose? Why are you here? Why did God make you? I want to give you something. Give you this. Just thoughts God gave me. Okay? You're God and I am not. What is God's purpose for you? What is God's purpose for your life? You need, I'm priming the pump. Bosnian. You need to have a firm foundation in your life to build on. What is your foundation? Once you have a firm foundation, then our everyday practical life details have to be worked out to build on that foundation. So many people get caught up in the doing of the Christian life. They don't realize the being. They miss the whole thing. I'm getting ready to give you a 5-point outline. That's not even my sermon. It's just an introduction of God's foundations for us. That's what we need to talk about. Five things, okay? Write them down if you want. You need to write them down. Not if you want. This isn't Bosnian. This isn't smorgasbord. You need to get this. You need to own this. Do you want Jesus? I'm sorry, do you want more of Jesus? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Do you want more of Jesus? Or you got enough? More? That ice cream was good, Mom. Can I have more? Actually, for me, it was cake. Thanks for the cake, Mom. Can I have more? It was my birthday not long ago. Janai baked me a cake, you know. So I go over there. And they had this cake, you know. And everybody else was getting these little pieces. Dude, I don't want no little piece. I want the whole thing. But I'll settle for a strip. You know what I mean? Okay? And then I got seconds. All right. Somebody give me five. I like it. 5-point outline. You ready? Yeah. Foundation for your life in Jesus. God's foundation for your life. God's foundation. You ready? This isn't even the sermon. They're just getting you there. Are you ready? Born again. John 3:3. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You have to be birthed into the family of God. Are you birthed into the family of God? Number one, that's where you got to start. You can't even see the kingdom of God or understand what's going on. It's just all rules or a glee club that you joined, okay? Or someplace where you can play softball through, okay? It's got to be more than that. God's foundation for your life. Number one, born again. Number two, next thing in your life, God's written word. Matthew 4:4. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I dare you. I double dog dare you to meditate on the words by every word. I double dog dare you to meditate on those three words. What does Jesus mean? He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. How does your life line up with the word of God? How does your life line up? It's not, well, my life's not working. Well, I tried God and it didn't work. I'm sorry. He's not a candy bar. I'm sorry. What do you mean you tried? God's way works every time. Something we did that we said was God's way wasn't God's way, because God's way works. But I watch most people, they try doing their version of God's way. That doesn't work. God's way works. You ought to get that in you. Try memorizing that. It's real hard. Ready? Three words. God's way works. Can you say that? God's way works. Can the rest of you say it? God's way works. Now, that's hard. I know you have to write on a piece of paper and meditate on it for a month to get it, right? But God's way works. Get that in you. Ask God to make that just dance in your belly. Make it alive to you. Okay? Born again. God's written word. Our life needs to line up with the word of God. How can our life line up with the word of God if you don't read it? How can our life line up with the word of God if you don't meditate on it? Think about it. Let it become part of you. Okay? Not just say, yeah, I heard that, but do you own it? Do you live it? How are you living it? Are you really living it, or are you just making a stab at it? That's what Sue was talking about today. God, try my motives of why I do what I do. If it's just, I don't want to feel guilty, so I'm asking you to forgive me, it's got to go deeper than that. It's not about me. It's about I sinned against God. That's why we confess. Do you understand? To be right with God. Does that make sense? Number one, born again. Number two, God's written word. Number three, relationships. Matthew 22:36-40. A lawyer said to Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And he said, basically what Jesus did was he drew a cross. He drew a cross. And he said, love God with everything. He said, you want to know what the Bible's all about? He said, love God with everything. The lawyer said to Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Take the whole Bible. What's number one? He said, number one, love God with everything. Heart, soul, mind, strength. Love God with your body. Love God with your mind. Love God with your heart. Love God with your breath. Love God first. Can I just share something with you? Tell me yes, because I'm going to anyway. Just say yes, and then you can get in on what I'm saying. Okay? Are you ready? Every minute of every day, my desire is to live for the smile of God. Whatever I'm doing, is this going to make him smile? Is this going to bless him? Is this going to just make him feel all warm and fuzzy inside? That's how I want to live. Not what pleases me, not what makes me comfortable. Because what? I can do that, and then I end up with anger, jealousy, judgment, harshness, selfishness, you know, me focus. Why aren't you pleasing me? Why aren't you doing it my way? Anybody ever live there? Both of you? Three of you? Four of you? Oh. It doesn't feel good, does it? You don't like living there, right? Then why do we even want to visit? Because if you visit, you'll end up probably staying for a while. So why don't we just quit doing that? And let's find out how to live. My focus, His presence. My focus, His smile. And there you go. His smile. See, doesn't that feel better? Stick your finger right in that little big thing right there. See? See that little dip? He's smiling. You ready? 5-point outline. Born again, God's written word, relationships. Love God with everything. When you're loving God, when you're seeking to love God, love God. I didn't tell you to live for God. Love God. What pleases Him? What blesses Him? I just met two little guys. One of them is Sebastian, and the other one was Snicklefritz. And we got another Snicklefritz, people. And they both came and introduced themselves. They were nice little gentlemen. Came and introduced themselves. They gave me a hug. And it's like, you know, they blessed me. And here's the thing. When we're loving God, they didn't have to do something. They just came to me. And they made themselves friendly. Introduced themselves. I said, how about giving me a hug? I didn't have to wrestle them down. I didn't have to give them a buck. You know, they both just hugged me. Here's Sebastian, here's Snicklefoot. Just got him. I forgot your name, little hot dog. So, you know, that was right. See, I just want to make sure you knew it. Okay. So he's not a Snicklefoot. His name's Julian. So little Sebastian and Julian came and gave me a hug. See, that just like, dude, they made my day. They just made my day. They were God to me. They came and just loved me, just were open to me. No hiding, no playing, no games, no anger, no attitudes. They just came and made themselves available and accepted me, loved me, let a little bit flow toward me. Love God. Think about that. God, what does that mean? How can I love you? What does that, Bosnian, what does that mean in my everyday life to love God? Jesus, talking about relationships, Matthew 22:36-40. He said, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Then he said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. You see, I sought to love these little guys. They loved me back. And because I received that from them, I now have other love to give away. Sometimes people come in here and they take from me. They hurt me. They have attitudes. They all these things that they do. And it's like I feel sorry for them. I'm not mad at them. But it's like it's hard for me to go to the next person and let the love of God because I've just been kind of damaged by them. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So what I'm saying is, when you love God, got the little dimple right there, right there. When you love God and He's smiling, then I receive that love, the peace, the acceptance, and I have joy inside because I'm loved and I'm accepted. See? And then that's what I have to give away. And that's what this says. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He loves you. Come and learn to love Him. And as you love Him, what's going to happen? You're going to get filled up with Him. And what you get filled up with, you give away to other people. Maria one day gave a testimony, and she said, I was talking to this lady on the phone, and God just got loose, and I didn't even know what I was saying, and the lady was crying and excited and blessed and filled, and so was I, and I don't even know how it happened. Because Maria has been listening and learning how to hang out with God and love God. And then as she gets filled up and she goes along life, God pokes a hole in her balloon and says, He gives her an opportunity, brings somebody in her life and says, I want to live toward this person through you. Will you let me? And Maria's like, I'm available. And God's like, pokes a hole in her balloon, and he just starts getting loose into that lady's life. And Maria's like, ah. You remember when she gave the testimony? She was like, she's about to hyperventilate. You know, somebody called the oxygen crew. It was like so cool. What you receive when you hang out with God, you're able to give. Now, if you go hang out with your rock and roll, and you go hang out with your friends, and you go hang out just doing all your little things to please you, you don't have anything to give away. And you're miserable. Oh, but it was fun. Uh-huh. Did it last? No. Did it help you with your life? No. No, it just gave us more things that we have to deal with when we finally talk to you about God in your life. Somebody say amen. I mean, is that true? I'm not making this up, right? Okay, this is practical Christianity 101. You getting this? I'm not even charging you tuition. Okay. 5-point outline. Born again. God's written word. Relationships. Tom's dad was born. Tom's dad lived, brought forth a bunch of kids, played music professionally, all this stuff. I met him down the road. It's time for him to go home. So Friday night, he went home to God. He graduated. Now, when we go to the cemetery, they won't be taking a U-Haul. His dad's not taking stuff with him. Bosnian. Prime the pump. Okay. He's not taking stuff with him. You know what he's taking? What's he taking? Do you know? His heart. His what? I thought you said his cell phone. I was like, nope. His soul. You said it under your breath, so I didn't know, you know. Man, it's standing too close to her. Okay, go ahead. What's he taking with him? What's his dad taking with him to heaven? Jesus, God. You know what he's taking from this world?
Nothing at all.
He's taking relationships. He's got a relationship with Steve. He's got a relationship with DBJ. He's got a relationship with me. He's got a relationship with Tom. He's got a relationship with Patty. He has a relationship with a number of people in here, but a ton of people outside of here. And they're going to show up because it's a relationship, and they're going to miss him. That's what he takes with him to heaven. What are you going to take with you? Relationships. Do you see how important relationships are? It needs to start with our relationship with God because we need to have a firm foundation, remember? Okay? Number 4, authority. We need to get under authority because God positions, ordains, He ordains, positions, and establishes authority for His own purposes. We need to be under authority. Children under the parents, parents under whoever. But we need to find out where we're supposed to be and get there and be a good subject. Don't be a rebel under the authority, always questioning, arguing, making it hard for the authority. Get under. Find out. They're there for your protection. Okay? Number 5, positioned for a purpose. There is authority. God's foundation. God puts authority in our lives. Now we need to get in our position. Because that's how we're going to fulfill our purpose. Remember, if you're a fork and your position is out in the garage, I probably won't go get you to use when I'm eating my food. But if you're in the right position in the silverware drawer where the forks are. Because if you ain't in the right place in the silverware drawer, you're in the back little tray where my wife hides all that other stuff, like the spoons with holes in it and the plastic stuff and, you know, the stuff that doesn't fit with the rest of our stuff. You know what I'm talking about? None of the rest of y'all are perfect either. You know what I'm talking about. Okay? Well, I'm not looking for forks back there. I look for it in the slot up here where the fork should be. Are you in the right position? Because you're not going to fulfill your purpose if you're not in the right position. And you're going to end up in life being disappointed. My mother-in-law, right not too long before she graduated to heaven, my wife said to her, "Mom, if you had to do it all over again, what would you do different?" And my mom had worked, my mother-in-law had worked 37 years at a mental hospital. She ran a ward. She said, "You know, if I had to do it all over again, I wouldn't do anything different. I did exactly what God wanted me to do." She was content. She was fulfilled. She fulfilled her purpose. What is your purpose? Good. Now we got through that. Do you understand? We need a foundation. God's foundation. Father, where are these five things in my life? We need to look. We need to ask ourselves. We need to ask God. But we need to be willing to look at the truth. In Bosnian. Okay. Now I'm going to give you a 4-point outline. And what's this one? Authority, I guess. Authority? Yeah. Okay? I don't know. You are God and I am not. Authority outline. Okay. God is over all, right? God is over all. That means He gets to say what is right and what is not. Have you ever had people say to you, "But you didn't do right. You've disappointed me. You should have done this." I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you, but I answered to God. And I did what He, "God, is this what you, yeah, this is what I wanted you to do." "Yeah, but God, they're mad at me." He said that they need to come and deal with me. He said, "Because I didn't tell you to answer to them." Do you understand? You got to do what God's telling you to do. See, you first need to have that right foundation. Born again in the Word, checking your life by the Word. Are you with me? Is anybody getting this?
Yeah.
I mean, really? Is this? I can sit down. We can just play some songs or tiddlywinks or something. You got this? You getting this? God is over all. God is number one. He's God. We're not. He's God of our life. Every minute of every day. He's God. Okay? He ordains, He positions, and He establishes authority for His own purposes. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 1. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 1. Let me know when you're there. I mean, just hold up your hands. You got it? Good. Way to go, Sebastian. Okay. 1 Samuel 15, verse 1. Are you ready? Way to go, Julian. Okay. You ready? Samuel said also unto King Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over His people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou, pay attention on purpose, unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts." God's talking. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which this nation Amalek did to my people Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now, go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not. I want you to slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." God ordains, positions, and establishes authority for His own purpose. Look in verses 16 through 18, same chapter. 1 Samuel 15, verse 16. You ready? "Then Samuel said unto King Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord Almighty God anointed thee as king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. God put King Saul, he took the man who was small in his own sight, he didn't think he was worthy, and God took him and said, I'm going to make you the head over the whole nation. God chose him. I'm going to make you the head over the whole nation. And he said, because I'm going to put you in that position to fulfill a purpose. God, okay, so point number three. God sets up a chain of command. Turn to Romans chapter 13 and verse 3. Romans, so you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Romans chapter 13, verse 3. For rulers, authorities, are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee, for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. You know what it's saying here? God puts people in authority over us. When we obey the rules, they praise us. Good boy. When we disobey the rules, they punish us. Bad boy. Is that simple? Romans chapter 13, verses 3 and 4. Yes, sir. Okay? So remember, God is overall, right? We're talking about chain of command here. We're talking about who's number one. Wait a minute. Is God overall in your life? Or do you choose where you're going to go? And what church you're going to go to? And where you're going to work? And who you're going to marry? And, I mean, do you? Because if you're choosing, then God's not. Do you understand? What about your life? Who's running your life? If you have your hands on the steering wheel, you know, have you seen that bumper sticker and it says, God's my co-pilot? Wrong. Wrong. Dude, wrong. Almighty God, you who made me and made everything that is, sit in the back seat or sit over there. I'm going to drive. You just be there in case I start to go off the road. What do you think he thinks about that? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. He doesn't like it. Anybody want to make that more clear? Huh? Yeah, we'll see about that. Uh-huh. Now, let me give you a thought. What if you had God sit in the driver's seat and you sat next to him? Is that a good position? It's better, but it's not good. At least in my understanding, what he's shown me so far. You know why? Because I'm too close to the steering wheel. And if I don't like where he's going, I reach over and grab the steering wheel. You know what he taught me, wants me to be? His little boy. When I was growing up, my daddy said, we're going to the beach. I grew up in Florida. We went to the beach all the time. Skis, you know, plow through the water. All that stuff. I did all this stuff. Okay. When my dad said, we're going to go to the beach, my dad didn't say, Harvey, you need to get a map and find out how we're going to get there. I'm a little boy. right? Julian, come here a second. Quick, quick. Come here. Come here. Come here. He didn't say, little Julian, I want you to get me a map and you figure out how we're going to get there. And by the way, little Julian, I want you to make sure the car is filled up with gas. Of course, you can't drive, but I'm going to put it on you. Fill up the gas. And then I want you to have a job so you can pay to fill up the car with gas. And then I want you to sit in the, driver's seat and drive us there. Did my dad tell me to do that stuff? You know what my dad said? He said, buddy, he said, we're going to go to the beach. I'm like, yee! And so what he did was he said, we're going to go to the beach. He said, guess what? You just get the inner tubes and your snorkel and anything you want to play with. Make sure you're wearing trunks. And you get in the back seat. And then daddy's going to figure out how to get there. He's going to pay for the car. He's going to pay for the gas. He's going to pump the gas. He's going to drive. He said, son, all you need to do in the back seat is roll the window down, stick your arm out the window, and go with the flow of the wind of the Spirit. He said, you don't have to drive. You don't have to figure it out. You don't have to provide. I will do that. 1987, I graduate Bible college after 9 years. Finally, thank you, Jesus. He says, go start a church. I'm like, okay, where? He finally says, Texas, Raymondville, Texas, 40 miles from Mexico. I said, okay, how do we get there? There's seven of us that went. My wife and I had basically five minors. And I said, how do we get there? He said, go talk to these preachers and tell them what you're going to do, and I'll lead through them. So the first preacher I talked to, Bosnian, he said, why don't you take one of the buses that we bring people to church in, okay, because we'd have buses that go around, pick up people, you know, and bring them to church. He said, why don't you take one of these buses? He said, first of all, why don't we look into getting you a, a U-Haul? This was 1987. To rent the U-Haul and to rent the U-Haul was $1,500. I said, I don't have $1,500. And that same preacher said to me, because first he called U-Haul and said, how are you going to get there? And I said, I don't know. He said, well, let's call U-Haul. So we did U-Haul first. I said, I don't have that. He said, maybe God would do it a different way. He said, we have buses that we pick people up for church in. All the churches that we went to, they would pick people up on buses. Called them bus routes. Go pick up people. He said, why don't you take one of those buses? I said, I don't have one. He said, why don't you, when you go around telling these preachers that you're getting ready to leave, he said, why don't you tell them? Maybe one of them will give you a bus. I had two churches try to give me a bus. Now, how can I drive two of them? Okay? So we took one. Anyway, long story short, we took all the seats out of the bus, put it up on top, looked like Beverly Hillbillies, trailer trash, and, dude, where I grew up, I'm telling you, it's like, okay, I'm just telling you, it's nothing wrong with trailers, but Sue and I start out in a trailer, but dude, I mean, there are people that, they call me up to Nuevo and places, and I'm like, dude, I mean, they got everything all over the yard. It's like, they don't have to ever worry about putting it away. They know right where it is. You know, it's out in the yard, you know. So we put all the seats, took all the seats out and put them up on top, and we filled this bus with our stuff. Number one, we didn't have a $1,500 expense. All I did was, I said, God, I don't know how to get there, and I don't have any money. And he said, you're going to leave in 2 months. He said, so in those 2 months, I want you to go tell other preachers what you're going to do. He said, watch what I do. And so when I went and told these other preachers, they said, hey, we want you to come speak at our church and tell people what's going to happen. And they all gave us money to get us down there. Okay? Somebody gave us a bus. Another preacher, he rebuilt the engine. Well, he and I rebuilt. I did all the grunt work. He told me what to do. And we rebuilt this engine. And then we threw all the seats up on top. Actually, we tied them. And then we threw all our junk in the bus. We drove down there. God provided. All we had to do was follow. I just did it God's way. And God came up with the way. In Romans chapter 13 that we just got through reading, God puts rulers in our life for a reason. One of my sons called me yesterday, and he said, we're having a family reunion. His wife's mother, they just put her in a nursing home or something like that, assisted living. And the family was all getting together on their side. They're called the Pringles, okay? I think it's Pringles. Maybe it's Pingle. I don't know. Whatever it is, it's something like that. Anyway, just their name, whatever it is, Smith, okay? And they all got together, and he said, we had to have a business meeting when we first got together. I said, a business meeting? And he goes, yeah. I said, well, how many of you are there? He said, there's over 100 of us. I said, well, no wonder they're having a business meeting. They're trying to organize it because otherwise it's chaos. I know what it's like when our family gets together, and there's about 45 with all my kids and their mates and my grandkids and great-grandkids. There's about 45 of us or something. And it's kind of mayhem, you know. It's kind of like people are bouncing off the walls and everybody's like, blah, 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 blah. Guys are over here watching football and women are over here, blah, 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 and they're cooking. And it's like, it's neat when you have it organized. God gives us rulers for organization, okay, and to help us, protect us. Just giving you ideas. Okay, where were we? Okay, touched wrong thing. So, God is over all. He ordains positions and establishes authorities for His own purposes. He sets up a chain of command. And then He positions followers as the fourth point. Look, and you're in Romans chapter 13. Look at verses 5 and 6. Romans 13, verses 5 and 6. Can I borrow this a minute? Camo and pink. Is that not cool or what? Okay. I found Cinderella. It fits. Okay. You ready? Wherefore, ye must needs be subject. He just got through telling us in the two preceding verses, I've set up authority. Did you hear what I said in Bosnian? The two preceding verses, He set up authority. Now He's going to talk to the followers in verses 5 and 6. Wherefore, or because of this, you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. We need to be subject to authority. Come on down. We need to be subject to authority. And we need to support authority. Okay? Support them. How can we support authority? Answer that. How can we support authority? Doing what we're told. Exactly. That's one of the best ways. Because if you're not supporting them, you're fighting against them. It's like joining in. You know, going in the same direction. Paddling in the same direction in Bosnia. Paddle. And be subject means to be under their authority. God put me here. I'm going to obey. I've got a husband. I'm going to obey unless in so doing I disobey God. I've got a pastor. I'm going to obey unless in so doing I disobey God. I've got a boss. I'm going to obey unless in so doing I disobey God. Not I'll obey grumbling. When I worked at GM, it was amazing. It seemed like it was a prerequisite. You had to learn to grumble to work there, you know? Complain all the time. It was like, what are you doing? I used to tell them, if you don't like it here, why don't you go find something else? You won't find anything that pays as good or as good of benefits. Why are you grumbling? I said, it makes you miserable all the time. I told you about the security guard asked me one day when I was walking in, sir, come here. I was walking in with the rest of the cattle going to work that day, you know, because we, you know, hundreds of us would come in at a time, maybe 1,000. So we were like cattle. We're all coming down the chutes, waiting to be slaughtered on the assembly line. And the security guard says, sir, sir, me? Because all of them were sirs, I thought, you know. And me? He goes, yeah. I walk over to him. I said, yes. He said, I've been watching you. I'm thinking, what did I do? He said, you're the only guy, whether you're coming in or leaving, you're the only one who's ever smiling. He said, why are you smiling all the time? I said, I'm thankful for my job. I'm thankful. I've never got paid this much for doing so little. I've never had these kind of benefits. For crying out loud, I got to work somewhere. I'm thankful. It's the best job I've ever had. He said, ain't nobody else here thankful. Nobody else here smiles. I said, I know. I can't live like they do. We're talking about God. We're talking about authority. We're talking about your God and I am not. What is God's purpose for you? What is God's purpose for your life? We talked about a 5-point outline. Born again. We have to be born again. God's written word. Live by every word of God. Relationship. Make that a priority. Live for relationship. That's the only thing you're going to take with you when you leave. Authority. Find out who your authority is and submit. Get in the position you're supposed to be in because that way you'll fulfill your purpose. Remember we talked about being a fork? You can't eat soup with a fork. Unless you pick up the bowl and go, which I do sometimes, but you're not supposed to. My wife kicks me under the table. I always ask her, why are you kicking me? I was trying to be discreet, Harb, but you're not getting it. Are you in your right position? You weren't designed to be a spoon. You were designed to be a fork. Don't try to do what a spoon does. Don't beat yourself up for not being a spoon. You heard Sue in Sunday school beating herself up because she's not all compassionate and stuff like Janiyah and I and hug and kiss people and, oh, and cry. My wife doesn't do all that. But my wife is the most awesome. When we have counseling, she does most of the talking because she's got this gift of wisdom, insight. It's discernment. She's incredible. But I don't expect all the mushy-gushy stuff. I'm the mushy-gushy one, you know? If both of us were mushy-gushy, we'd just be like jellyfish clan. You know what I'm saying? Somebody's got to be strong and somebody's got to be the jellyfish. You know what I'm saying? Male, female, you know? The guy and then the need meter, you know? Really? You know, the completer. Strong where he's weak, weak where he's strong. They get it on good that way. God is overall. He's God. We're not. Is that your life? Is that your life? Is that your decision? You are God and I am not. Okay, we've got some thought-provoking questions to find the truth in us. I'm sorry, I forgot. God is overall. He ordains positions and establishes authorities for his own purposes. He sets up a chain of command. He positions followers. The followers need to be subject and support. Some thought-provoking questions to find the truth in us. Now, we can have a time right now where I say church is over and you're done if you want to leave because what I'm getting ready to say may just mess with you. Okay? But since you're not all moving, then I'm going to read these thoughts. Okay? Do we want truth? Do we really even want truth? Or are we already right? I'm saying ask God to work that in you in certain areas where you find yourself in contention with others, where you find yourself irritated by others. Am I already right or do I want truth? Or are we content to think we're right? If you want to write down a couple of verses, Proverbs 22 verses 20 and 21. Have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee? John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Then said Jesus, you know what? I wish you'd get all these verses. But if you didn't get any verses but these two, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. Have you believed on Jesus? Here's what Jesus said. If, that's the biggest word in the word life, if ye, you, continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, truly. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Do we really want truth, or are we content to think we're already right? Number two, are we truth seekers? Are you seeking truth? Or do you get enough here that you don't want to go seek more? I've already been bothered enough, Pastor Harvey. Whatever you say just already irritates me enough. I have a hard time keeping up with this. Are you a truth seeker? Do you really want truth? Are you seeking truth? My wife and I, this isn't in my notes, this is free. I let you know, we're not passing an extra plate to get this. Okay, you ready? That was humor. Okay, don't worry. I forgot to hold the sign up. It says, smile now, makes Harvey feel better. Okay, are you ready? My wife and I have a saying. I would rather see a truth that I hate than be deceived by a lie that I like. How about you? Okay, let's keep going. Do we want truth? Are we all, or are we already right? Number two, are we truth seekers? Number three, who are we choosing to listen to? Who counsels us? Psalm 119:24. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Who counsels us? Who are we choosing to listen to? Who counsels us? 1, 2, 3. Question four. Who do we actually invite to speak into our life? Who do we actually invite to speak into our life? Do we invite God to speak into our life? Do we read the Bible and say, please show me what you want me to see? God, I want to know the truth. Like Sue was talking about, try my confession, try my praise with fire to find out what's really the motive behind it. Who do we actually invite to speak into our life? God? What people do we actually invite to speak into our life? Uh-oh. Please sit down. I don't want anybody to fall out of your chair when I say this. You ready? When we invite somebody to speak into our life, what do we really do with what they tell us? How do we apply it? James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I got two more, two more questions. And we're done. Are we willing to honestly consider the hard questions and answer them? I'm talking about for our life. I'm talking about for our marriage. I'm talking about for our work. I'm talking about for our peace. I'm talking about for our future. I'm talking about for your life. Are we willing to honestly consider the hard questions and answer them? And then the last thing. Who do we invite to speak into us? Only those that agree with us? Or those that won't confront us? Or ones we can overpower, overtalk, overargue? What would they report about us? Would they say we're teachable, receptive, or the opposite? Are we willing to ask them? There's somebody I know, and when they invited me to speak in their life, they didn't like it. I didn't tell them what I thought. Because I kept telling God, I don't want to tell them what I thought. When they go to say stuff, I had thoughts. I had opinions just like everybody else. Everybody's got opinions. They're like noses. They just smell. I've got opinions like everybody else. I probably got more than you do. I'm a very opinionated person. In the dictionary of the word opinionated, it says C. Harvey. Okay? I'm opinionated. But when somebody asks me stuff, in Bosnia, when somebody asks me stuff, okay, I tell God, I don't want to tell him what I know. I want to know, what do you want me to tell her? And then I speak what God once said. So this person, they kept coming to us. You could see they were irritated. They argued. But. Angry. Attitudes. Beat red. But they chose somebody else to start going to. And they said, well, I answer to them. I said, but do they ever say anything to you? Will they confront you? Because I know them. Will they say anything to you? The answer is no. Will they confront you? No. And when I asked the person that they do go to, do you ever confront him? He said, yeah, I tried. He said, but he doesn't listen. He already knows what he knows. It doesn't matter what I say, so I just listen. And he says a lot of things to me all the time, and he thinks I agree with him because I don't say anything, but I've learned I can't say anything because he won't listen. Now, you wouldn't want that shoe to fit on your foot, would you? Here you go, Tinkerbell or Cinderella. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Blah, 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 in Bosnian. Okay. You're impressed that I knew so much Bosnian, aren't you? Folks, I'm going to tell you this as long as you come here. I want to get you to Jesus. I want to help you learn how to hang out with him, how to have his richest blessings. I want you, when I pray for you, my desire is for you to be blessed as if you were Jesus himself. Would you like that? I mean, really? I'm sorry, but the Bible says faithful. The Bible says, I didn't make this up, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. I'm your friend. I'm sorry I will wound you sometimes. I don't mean to. If I wound you, come and let me know. I'll ask you to forgive me. I'll humble myself. And now what are you going to do with what I said? Because there's two sides of the coin. And when I say something to you and you're going, I know it's right, but man, that's hard. And blah, 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 blah. Okay, I understand. Do you want me to help you work it into your life? Or do you just, you don't want it in your life? Because I'm trying to answer your question to get you to Jesus. Are you with me? I want to help you. I don't know everything. I'm just trying to show the light that I have. That's why, like in Sunday school, we're open and we have different people talk. And sometimes we do that in here. Last few weeks, we did that in here. We talked about stuff today. There's a family talk. Was there something that you heard today that could help you? Then let's pray this, okay? Father, what you said, what was said that was of you, I want it in my life. I want to own it. I want to live it. I don't know how to get there. I'm where I'm at. But you're God, and you know how to get me there. So I'm not going to try to figure it out. I'm going to be the little boy, the little girl that backs up and sits in the back seat. I'm going to trust you to get me there, but I'm telling you, I want to get there. I want to live this. I want to live you. I want to have the right relationships in my life. I want to have the right attitudes. I want to be under authority. I want your foundations in my life, because otherwise, what am I building my life on? It's a lie. It won't work. And I see enough other people that it's not working for. I don't want to be one of those that do ABC, anything but Christ. I want to live you, Jesus. You are the most awesome person I've ever met. And Jesus, I ask that you would teach me how to baby step, walk one step at a time into this. Help me to walk in the light you've given me, and then I know I'll get more light. And I thank you for being faithful. Teach me how. I'm asking you to do it because I don't know how to do it. I'm depending on you, Jesus. But I want to put into practice what I've heard. Not just listen, but go home and do something with this. Because I want you, Jesus, to live in my life. I love you, Jesus. Amen. Everybody stand up. I want you to just close your eyes and just think about what was said and what you want to do with that. God, what do you want me to do with this? When I started going to church, every single time I went to church for 25 years, at this point of the service, I would always go up to the altar and just tell God, God, I want this. I want this. I want this. I need you. And I'm not telling you you got to do that. I'm just telling you what I did, because it's like, I need Jesus. I just need him. And I just, it's a good place. An altar is a meet place with God. Just a place of being real, being sincere, and a place of consecrating, as the word keeps coming to me, of dedicating your life, your time, putting it over into God's hands so he's got the steering wheel of your life. And you're just being the little boy, the little girl that says, I need you, Daddy. That's what this is about. Just tell him that right now. God, I need you and I want you. Just whatever he's doing in your life. God is raising you up to be a soldier with Jesus, to walk with Jesus, to stand the withstand the battles that come against you in this life. Know how to walk with him, how to live in his presence. Because what he is going to do, that a number of you have experienced, is he is going to live his life. See, his life was laid down, cut short for you. So he's going to fulfill his life, live out the rest of his life through you. And you're going to get to experience his life in you. And it's way above any life you could have outside of him. It's not you doing it for God. It's God doing it for you, in you, with you, through you. That's what this is about. I've never experienced anything that's even comes close. And I want it more and more. So that's why we were talking today about foundation and position. If you're sitting in the driver's seat or even sitting next to the driver, you're too close to the steering wheel, you'll be tempted to reach over and grab the steering wheel of your life. Get in the back seat and be the little boy, be the little girl. Let Daddy do the driving. I want you to know I love you. And I'm not going to quit loving you. Whether you love me or not, whether you're good or not, I'm just going to keep loving you. You don't get to fail, though you're going to fail every day at something. You don't get to fail. You just get to keep repeating until you get it, and we're just going to keep loving you until you do. We're not going to cut you off. Now, sometimes people are going to cut you off. I'm just telling you, that's our goal, is to not cut you off. Do you understand? Though others cut us off, we're not going to cut them off. Okay? We want to do what's right regardless of their choices. We want to live Jesus to them. Amen? Anybody else? I mean, is this what you want? Right? And this your choice? Okay. You keep hanging around this. This is what's going to happen to you. You're going to find yourself. But you're going to get hurt. People are going to hurt you. They're going to disappoint you. They're going to use you. They're going to accuse you. But what did they do to the master? What did they do to the master? 1977, God said to me, he showed me that verse. I'll try to end with this. Are you ready? He said, you remember in the Bible where it says, if they, come here. He said, if they smite thee on the one cheek, bam, turn the other also. so they can smite me again, Lord? And I said, Lord, I can't handle nobody beating on my body. I'm allergic to pain. I don't like getting hit. I've been hit before. I don't like it. And he said to me, are you ready? What they did to the master, they're going to do to the servant. Are you going to be my servant, or you want me to do things your way? Because your version is not my way. You want everybody to like you, everything to go smooth. You're all blessed. He said, then go watch TV preachers. He said, if that's what you're looking for. He said, if you're going to follow me, what they did to the master, what they do to the master? What they do to the master? I can't hear you. They crucified him. What does that mean? They killed him. There was a time where God showed me two verses. One's in like Matthew 9, one's in Mark 9 or something like that. I could show them to you if I had time to look them up. And it says that Jesus was delivered into the hands of men for God's purposes. God works things in our life. He's been bringing it to me lately. Harvey, when they bring you before the court, when they bring you and people are accusing you, he said, I want you to settle it in your heart already so you don't defend yourself, you don't argue, you don't try to get a big lawyer, you don't try to all that stuff. He said, just settle it in your heart. It's going to happen. And when it does, before they kill you, he says, when it does, he said, just know this is what I have you here for, because you're going to be a testimony for me. I understand. But after about the third or fourth time, he'll probably... I'm trying to say to you, what they did to the master, they're going to do to the servant. So right now in your life, when people, you're trying to do right, and people are accusing you and misunderstanding you, Father, forgive them. Your thought, Al. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I choose to forgive them. I choose to give you a gift of forgiveness. Get out of here. I asked a lady this week, my customer. She got all mad at me. She called me four times. Three of the times, like, answered the phone, and there was no voice. I kept saying, tub glaze. And there was a glitch, you know, so you couldn't hear the voice. The fourth time, I called her back. She answered. She got all mad at me. You wouldn't answer me. I said, ma'am, I answered you. I couldn't hear your voice. I'm sorry. It's technology. I can't get past that. I said, that's why I kept calling you. Ma'am, I don't need a shave yet. But anyway, okay. Ma'am, will you forgive me? And she said, no. I said, and the words came right out of my mouth. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I couldn't help it. They just came right out of me. Father, I didn't know what to do. Will you forgive me? No. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So she called a company who happens to refer me. They gave her my number. She said, did I just get through talking to you? I said, don't know of anybody I talked to in Spring Lake today. We started talking. It was the same lady. I said, ma'am, will you forgive me? She said, we'll just start over. How about that? I go, okay, can we start over? God wasn't letting her get away. He wanted to do something in her life. Because you know what? Where's she going to spend eternity with that kind of attitude? There's no forgiveness. If you won't forgive, you can't be forgiven. Do you understand? Are you willing to suffer wrong? Do you follow me? I love you.